79, and we're sitting in Nathaniel Arvin III's home. I'm getting ready to record for the Kentucky Oral History Project, Nathaniel Arvin and Andrew Arvin, his brother. Okay, let me just start out by saying, Andrew Arvin, why don't you tell me where you live now?
I live in Wilmore, Kentucky. That's Route 1, Box 7.
And what county is that in?
That's Jessamine County.
Okay, and where were you born and when were you born?
I was born in Estill County on Buck Creek, 1904.
Okay, and how about you, Nathaniel? Where were you born and when?
I was born on Barnes's Mountain in 1915, February the 22nd, 1915.
Okay, now with that out of the way, what were y'all interested in talking about today?
In running down my family tree, I come up with an old document, my great-grandfather's last will and testimony, and I would like to read this last will and testimony of my great-grandfather.
That's
great-grandfather. And there's a few outstanding people in this document that I'd like to comment on.
Okay, how about before you read the document, tell us a little bit about your great-great-grandfather, who he was and where he lived and that sort of thing.
Jameson Arvin was a native of Estill County, and he lived on the Kentucky River around Willa Shoal, or Willa.
Where is that located?
That would be between Price and Eveline.
Okay.
And they was on both sides of the river there, from from Roses Creek down to Buck Creek, on both sides of the river.
And do you have any idea when he came to Estill County and where he came
that,
from?
I've got no history. There was some talk, of course this is talk now, that there was two brothers ahead of him, was Indian fighters that come on through, but he settled in Estill County there. Must have been in the 1700s, somewhere in the 1700s.
In the late 1700s? Or
I would say it'd be in the middle of the 1700s.
And do you know when he died? Jameson?
Jameson died somewhere between June in 1841 and October 1841. Otherwise, he died around July, August in 1841.
And that, do you have any idea how old he was when he died?
That I don't know just exactly how old. I do know that my great-grandfather was born 100 years ahead of me. My great-grandfather was born in 1815, which would be 100 years ahead of me.
And Jameson was his father then.
And Jameson was his father, yes.
Okay, why don't you go ahead and read the last will and testament then?
Know all men by these presents that I, Jameson Arvin, sent of the county of Estill and state of Kentucky, being weak of body ability, but of perfect sound and disposed mind, in memory of construction of I ordain the following my last will and testimony. First, it is my will and desire that my beloved wife, Nancy Arvin, have, and I do hereby betray to her, during her natural life, the following property, real and personal, to wit, the land hereon I now reside, commencing at a cross fence known as the Upper Peach Orchard Fence, then running across the ridge with the branch to the ridge, then running across the ridge as to strike the lower end of the field known as the Old Clover Field, thence running to include Sad Field to the river, up the river to the beginning. Also, all my household, kitchen furniture, all my farming implements are so much of Sad personal estate before name, as ye may think proper to keep. Also I will and betray to her as many of my cattle and hogs as ye may see proper to keep. One mare known by the name of the Blaze Mare. Second, it is my will and desire, and I do hereby give and betray to my beloved daughter, Polly Arvin, the following described land beginning on the adjoining tract hereof betrayed to her mother, then running up the river to a place called the Brush Fence, as being the dividing line between my other land of the Garrett Allenball tract, this running back with the old line to the ridge, then running with the back line with it striking the line of her mother's tract, and with it to the beginning. Also a mare called the Bay Mare. Third, I do hereby betray unto my son Joseph Arvin all the tract of land known as the Garrett Allenball tract. Fourth, I do hereby betray unto my son Thomas. Now we come to Thomas, which is my great grandfather.
Okay.
And when we are speaking of him, he was a native of this county. He was a soldier and under Captain Wilson, the Kentucky 8th Company C.
That's during the Civil War?
This is during the Civil War.
So he was on the United States side, not
the
Confederate side.
He was on the United States. He was, Captain Wilson was a native of this county, and his company, I think, was made of all Estacanians, which Captain Wilson is buried at Station Camp on the part of the place known as the Newton Place, I guess, up there.
Now, did Captain Wilson, did he muster people in at Estill Springs, or am I confusing that with someone else?
I think that you might be confusing
that
with
the
Morgan. Captain Morgan was there.
At Estill Springs?
But he is also joined there with Captain Wilson. Wilson's company was from this county.
And Wilson himself was from this county.
This county. And Thomas is now buried, he's buried at the Buck Creek.
Thomas Arvin.
Thomas Arvin. And that's where he spent his last days on Buck Creek.
Now, is this place that he's buried on Buck Creek where you all were
that's
raised?
That's where I was born.
Where you were raised, Andrew.
I was born there. Mm-hmm. I wasn't raised there. I was born there.
Okay.
On the old Thomas Arvin place.
And this is his, he has the military tombstone and all, given his rank, his company and all there.
And that's still on this old home place on
the That's
Creek.
Part of the old home, mm-hmm. That's part of the old home place of his. Now, we'll go on. All that tract of my land, known as the Peter Allenball tract, fifth, I do here will and betray unto my two sons, Nathaniel Arvin and Davis Arvin, all that tract of my land which I purchased from William Crawford, known as the Willow School Place, to be divided between them as follows, beginning at a sycamore and a box teller near the mouth of the middle branch, the tree marked AJ, then running said branch to the cliff, then running through the hills so as to leave the pinnacle sink to Nathaniel. Now Nathaniel was a old time storyteller, and he owned the land at the pinnacle, which most people in Estill County will know as the pinnacle, which is in Lee County. But at that time, the most of Lee County was Estill County.
Okay, now Nathaniel Arvin is your great-grandfather?
It's our grandfather.
Grandfather, okay.
No,
that's Thomas.
That's our great-great-uncle.
This is my great-uncle.
Okay, now was he Thomas's son or Thomas's brother?
He was Thomas's brother.
Okay.
Speaking of Jameson Arvin's last will and testimony. Okay. To the line between myself and Jordan Dwight, the upper part of said tract is hereby betrayed to the said Davis Arvin, during his natural life and at his death. It is my will and wish that said land shall descend to his daughter Nancy T. Arvin, child of his first wife, and the lower part of the said Willow School place is hereby betrayed to the said Nathaniel Arvin. 6. I do hereby betray unto the lawful heirs of my said son John Arvin all the land I own on Buck Creek, it being part of the place called the Newton Place. It is my will and desire that my said son John Arvin have the and occupy said tract of land in trust for his children until the youngest he may have arrived at the age of 21, and then to decease to his said heirs. 7. I do hereby will and betray to my son James Arvin the tract of land known as the Mark White tract. 8. I do hereby betray unto my son Jesse Arvin all that part of my land concerning on the upper line of the foresaid Mark Witt track and running up and adjoining the land herein betraying to his mother. Now we come back to Jesse. Jesse Arvin was the deputy sheriff in which had Ed Hawkins was arrested and Tommy Lamb and was killed at the Winding Star Mountain.
Okay, well, why don't you tell me something? Who's Ed Hawkins?
Ed Hawkins was a notorious bandit or killer. I think that he was married. I don't know, 21? Was it 21 times, Andrew?
Something like that.
And took the life, he was married 7 times and took the life of 21 people in his lifetime.
Was Ed Hawkins from Estill County?
Ed Hawkins was from this county, and he now rests at off on the Cressy Road. He's buried out there off on the Cressy Road.
Where on Cressy Road, do you know?
When you turn at the Ivory Hill Baptist Church, you go back there about a mile, and back in a field, there's a place up back there at his last resting place. And
tell me what the circumstances of him killing Jesse Arvin and Tommy Land were.
They must have been, they knew each other. And that was in that, he was a hiding in this area up there in a cave near the Pinnacle. And they got wind that he'd come across the river or was in there or something or another. And my great uncle, Jesse Arvin, was the deputy sheriff, him and Tommy Land.
Of Estill County?
Of Estill County, yes. And they had him rested and drinking in, and he was riding behind Land, double on a horse. And as the way as my grandfather told me, that he took the pistol from Land, shot him, and then killed Jesse Arvin. And the markings on the up there are supposed to be a markings up there on.
So Jesse Arvin and Tommy Land were trying to bring Ed Hawkins into town
trial.
To
That's right.
Be put in jail.
And he left here after he killed them. He left here and went to Hamilton, Ohio, up in there somewhere, and went in hiding up there. They found him up there, And before they'd come, he's about starved to death. And before they'd go in on him, he had to turn his pockets wrong side out and
for him to go in on. That's what the book said. It said he hated all the game men that he'd killed in his time. He hated to give up the bunch of carrots.
They brought him back to Estill County.
They brought him here and put him in jail here, and he wrote a letter. I think it's in the history of the Ed Hawkins. He written a letter there.
I don't know who's got
yes,
that
Yes, we have that at the library.
Yeah.
All right, the book. And, you know what I'm talking
about. It's a little pamphlet like thing.
His last ride was from the Irving jailhouse to Ravenna, where he was hung, and they took him up on a wagon, and his coffin was right on the wagon, and he sat on his coffin to the up there and peeled and eat peaches. And when they pulled up to the gallows, they put the rope around his neck, and before they made the ceremony to give the command for the wagon to pull out from under him, he jumped.
Did he give any speech or anything before the
hanging?
I don't know what he did or didn't.
The history of it was something like the story reads, as far as I can start, mm-hmm. It's about history. My grandfather, Nathaniel the first.
Yeah.
He was there, my grandfather was.
At the hanging?
He was there and he seen it because his uncle was Nathaniel Jesse's brother, you see. And that was the reason why he was interested in that.
That happened then in about 1856 or 57, something like that?
No, that happened...
The hanging?
That happened somewhere around during the Civil War.
I don't recall this that, but I can always remember my grandfather telling me all this there. So that's about...
Go ahead.
As far as we can go with this Jesse at the present
time. Let me ask you one other question about the hanging. Where was he hung up in Ravenna?
It was near Poplar and 7th. The summer's in that awful net there.
And where was Ed Hawkins from in Estill County? Do you know that?
He's from down here around Cressy.
Up on Cressy somewhere.
Summer's in the
lower edge of the county.
I think that he might be from a place called Woodward Creek. Is there a creek up there called that? Close to Clark County?
I think
County?
It's down in there.
Close to the Clark County line.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, what made Ed Hawkins so mean? He was just a bad man?
No, sir. He was a good-looking young man. And he is well attractive, you know what I mean? He is attractive to women. And he was just, I think at a time that he passed off as an officer in the Civil War.
Well, I said the first thing he ever stole, he stole everything. First thing he ever stole was a pen from his grandmother. That's what he said in the book. You read the book and see if I ain't telling you right.
But the history of it is, according to my grandfather, and I read the kind of the history of Eddie Hawkins, and it pretty well covers about what my grandfather and the Arvin clam here is told.
So Jesse Arvin, whom Ed Hawkins killed, was your great-great uncle? Is that right?
Is correct. Okay. That is correct. And all that part of my land, commencing the upper line of the foresaid Marquette tract and running up and adjoining the land, hereon betrayed to his mother. And at her death, I betrayed to him the field of his mother, part called the Old Clover Field. 9th, it is my will and desire that my daughter, Sally King, have $20 out of my property or my estate. 10th, it is my will and wish that the heirs of my son Jameis have no portion of my estate, further than the advancement I have made to him in his lifetime.
Why did he not want to leave Jameson anything?
Well, the way it appears to me in this will that Jameson was dead at this time, and he had given to his son Jameson a lot of in his lifetime, and that way, while he had already received his share. That's the way it appears to me.
I thought maybe they'd had a falling out or something.
No, because Jameson is a junior. He was named after his father. No portion of my estate, further than that advance, I have made to him in his lifetime. 11, it is my will and desire that all my just debts be paid, and should my personal estate not be sufficient for the, I hereby inform it on all my heirs to whom I have herein betrayed my land to pay their equal portion of said debt and join lien and hereby receive on the whole of said land for the purpose, should they not otherwise pay said debt. And it is my will and desire that should the situation of my wife at any time require aid for purpose of her comfort, that each of my heirs to whom I have betrayed my land and contribute their equal portion in the way of rent and a sum sufficient for her comfort support until death. 12, I do hereby contract and appoint my son Nathaniel Arvin and my son Joseph executor for the purpose of carrying this my last will and testimony into effect. And the said Nathaniel is hereby authorized to carry into effect all my contracts and unsettle business of every description, not herein otherwise provided for. It is my will and desire that when my wife should depart from this life, that the land and property being betrayed to her shall be equally divided between the balance of my heirs, to be as equally divided in lots as near as can be, and not be sold out of the family. In testimony hereof, I hereunto subscribe my name and affix my seal, this the 18th day of June, 1841. Witness, A.W. Quinn, John Arvin, and E.W. Bowman. State of Kentucky, Estill County, October the 1841. The last will and testimony of Jameson Arvin, deceased, was produced in court and proven by the oath of A.W. Quinn and Elson W. Bowman, ordained to be recorded, which is accomplished done. Robert Clark, County Court Clerk.
Well, what kind of, was Jameson mainly a farmer?
According to this will, he was a businessman. Maybe river, you know what I mean? He traveled with the river, and they had a lot of mule trains back them days. And so we can tell, my brother over here is older than me. He's got some report on the last mule train was leaving west out of here, was driven by one of our kin.
That's right.
Well, first, why don't you tell me what a mule train is? I don't know what that is.
A mule train as a wagon train was covered, and there's several of them. And we got people that left out of Estill County and left here, and they strung all the way across Kentucky. Part of them's down at Camelville, and part of them down at Christian County, and some of them went on into Texas, and some of them went on into California, and they left here during that gold rush in California, and there wasn't but a few got on in there, but there's a town in California named after the Arvins. It's an Arvin town, Arvin, yeah. Arvin, California. And that's where they settled in. And I think that our great-grandfather took the last wagon train off of Main Street in Lexington, Water Street or Vine Street in Lexington. I seen a piece in the paper about that here several years ago, going back, and who drove the last wagon train out off of there, and it's Tommy. They got it spelled Irving, but I'm pretty sure it's Arvin.
And Tommy was your all's great-grandfather.
That's right. And now there's something else, too. Now, I know that my grandfather, which was Thomas's son, used to cut wood for the furnace. Now, they had a part in that. And one of the boys there was... drove mule trains hauling that iron ore before there's ever any trains in here. I think it went down Powell County. Out, you know what I mean? And they hauled that iron ore by mules until they, you know what I mean? The trains to haul that out.
What was the furnace? Tell me about the furnace.
Well, they made iron
ore. Iron ore. Now they have several. Now you take at Fitchburg. There's the furnace is there. Then go up Tipton Ridge out there. There's an old furnace out there. We have a recreation area up there, a state park, or it's in the Dan'l Boone Forest.
And there was, excuse me, go ahead. I was going to say, there was iron ore in these hills
around
Estill County?
Oh, yeah, and they still are. They made this iron here, this pig iron, and it was transported by mule train. Which our people had a part in it. And while we're on the subject, of course there's a lot of people in Estill County, but the Arvins was among the first that came in here. Otherwise, Jameson here was recorded in this county back in the 1700s.
Mm-hmm.
They was one of them.
They'd be among the first.
Some his grandpap's uncle or great uncle used to own the Estill Springs and all the Sweet Lick going back up in there. I heard him tell about it. He worked out there, and that was before they had cooking stoves. And they went and bought a cooking stove, and she forgot to put the bread in the cooking stove.
Is that when the hotel was there?
No, that's
long before the hotel.
That's long before anything was there. He lived out there.
It was just his farming place.
My grandfather worked for him.
But now Thomas was in the Civil War, and he was in the Kentucky 8th Company C. That was Captain Wilson's. And then my grandfather, his son, Thomas's son, was Nathaniel. Was a first sergeant and attachment at Camp Nelson during the Civil War. He was held there. He didn't go no farther than Camp Nelson. He was held right there and guarding that covered bridge.
Now, where's Camp Nelson? Is that in...
That's in Jessamine County,
uh-huh. Yeah. Right there along the river?
Oh, right there at 27, yeah.
Isn't it right on the river? There's a bridge that crosses over mm-hmm. the river, the Kentucky River.
But they used to... See, they had... they've got three bridges, but there used to be an old covered bridge there. And then just beyond, at Camp Dick Robinson, mm-hmm. was their hospital there. And I've heard my grandfather tell that he'd have to go, if he were on a sick call, he had to go over to, or anything real ailing, he had to go to Fort Dick Robinson. That's over in Garrett County.
Well, Andrew, you grew up, let's see, we're coming to the end of the tape, so let's stop it and turn it.
Document there of this county, and about the one thing, our father was Nathaniel Arvin, and he was a minister here for as far back as I can remember. I guess he was a 60 minister.
60 some odd years.
What church? Or?
He was a missionary, Southern Missionary Baptist.
And did he travel all over the county, or did he have his own church somewhere?
He is a evangelist at the Jackson County Association, which
at one time.
Yeah, and he preached. I've known him go out of Estill County, ride horseback there, back into Jackson County and out of the county and back in there, and then them people would load his old horse up in a truck and bring him back home. Hmm.
He was a pastor of on Red Lake. There's a church up on Red Lake. There's one at Drip Rock. Lots of churches in Jackson County.
And he would just travel?
Well, he was a pastor of those churches. But he stayed at home, and he was one of these old mule riding preachers back in the olden days.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time, of course, now that evangelist, at one year he was the evangelist of the Jackson County Association, which he took in all the churches. I think I was at the association when he was the evangelist, and he had his little black book, and he gave how many miles he traveled horseback, how many miles he walked, how many miles that he had traveled by automobile, how many churches he visited, how many come to the faith by membership, so many by joining the church, and so forth and so on. He had all that down in that little book and read all that off. And I like to talk with him because I spent 10 years in the service, and I've been around the world. I spent 2 years in Europe during World War II, and I seen a lot of the places over there where Christ had been, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad could sit down, and he was well read in the Bible, and he could sit down and he'd tell me these places, and he could draw me a picture that he'd tell it to. Just like if he'd been there right along with me.
What, you said you were born on Barnes Mountain, and then did you grow up on Barnes Mountain also? Or?
I was, as you might say, I was born and raised there. I left here in 1930 and went to Lexington, and I worked in Lexington. I started working in Lexington at 16. My brother right here took me on the first job.
And, why did you leave here and go to Lexington? Because
there was no work. There was no work. And we went to work at the narcotic farm. I never will forget. I was 16, but I was a good-sized boy and strong. And the superintendent told my brother here, Andrew, that he would hire him. I said, I don't know about that kid. And he said, well, you hire me, you'll have to take him too. And so we went to work 20 cents an hour. That was union. And then we
got. No, it was an ununion job at the time we went in.
Oh, yeah. Well then they come out with a. Then they struck and they give us a nickel raise, and we thought we was rich. Union took over and gave us at a quarter an hour.
What union was that?
Oh, it's just something.
It was called a Teamster Hod Carriers Union, labor local there. In fact, of business, I was a president of the first labor local was in Lexington.
Hmm. What, now what kind of place was this you all
were working at? That narcotic farm. That was 19...
That's where they built Oh, they built that in 30, started in...
Old Easttown Pike here in Lexington.
28 or 29, somewhere along there, poured the footing from one stuff and another after Roosevelt took office. Well, then they finished building that, and they built it. It's a big place. That place covers 25, 30 acres of ground, one building.
Well, what was the, are you saying narcotics?
Well, narcotics. See, these people that was doped up and this, that, and the other. In fact, if it, if you got too unruly, they sent you to Darnell over in at Danville, you know what I mean? And that, where, that's where they put you in straitjacks and so forth and so on. But the narcotic farm, that was, they kind of took you in there and worked it all.
Tried to dry you out,
that's,
so to speak.
Well, that's where they dry you out. That's if right. It was a hopeless case or something other like that, well, they sent you on to Danville at Darnell.
So y'all were involved in the building of the narcotic
right.
farm?
We was, Lord have mercy knows, we've unloaded more carloads of tile and stuff like that, and they'd be men lined up on a fence waiting for somebody to pass out so they could have your job. Now, that was in the 30s when it's hard times.
Where did you all live in Lexington?
Well, we stayed out on Cisco, what they call Cisco Road there. At that time, didn't
it? Yeah, it was just off of Sail Pike. And we'd go into in downtown Lexington to show when there'd be more buggies than there would be cars. And one time we on the Leestown Pike, one Sunday, there was no backhoes, there was no such a thing as a backhoe or anything like that. He and I alone, one Sunday, we dug a ditch halfway across the Leestown Pike and put the pipe in, done our own flagging, and the people, you know what I mean, traveling the pike. We done our own flagging, our own plumbing, and our own digging and everything, and put that road across there one Sunday. It took us about 12 hours, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And we dug that by hand. What, there's about a dozen buggies and three cars? There's more buggies than there was cars that traveling back then.
So what'd you do then after that job in Lexington?
Oh, we worked all over Lexington.
My brother here, he was, I kind of followed his tracks. And
see what I'd done? I worked as a cement finisher for years there in Lexington, just on every job. I was on every job. And then I left here and went to Michigan, and I took up brickwork. And I come back here, then I worked as a bricklayer for years here.
And when did you
still
come,
do.
When did you come back here?
I come back here about 48. 47, 48, somewhere.
So you grew up on Bucks Creek, and then, or you
raised,
were born
I was
there.
Born on Buck Creek.
And then y'all moved to Barnes
and,
Mountain?
Then we moved backwards and forwards, backwards and forwards, and then we moved back to Buck Creek when I was a great big boy, and I finished growing up on that right on the head of Buck Creek.
Why did y'all move backwards and forwards?
Well, is my dad never owned no land at that time.
I see.
And he rented.
So you just moved where you could get some farm work and so forth?
That's right. He moved from one farm to another till we finally bought a place. We lived on Doe Creek, at the head of Doe Creek, whenever he bought this place on Buck Creek. And we moved to Buck Creek, and then he swapped the place on Buck Creek to the place out on Barnes Mountain where he was born at.
Now you take my dad, he was 93 years old, and spent all all them days, he was away out of Estill County 1 year, but he come back and voted then. But he spent 93 years in Estill County, my dad.
And did he always live out on Barnes Mountain?
Well, in
that
place?
Within
5 miles. He was born, raised, and lived his lifetime of 93 years within 5 miles.
We and him was born on the same farm. On the same
you
farm.
You and your father?
Mm-hmm.
And when did you, you went to, into the Army and were in World War II, and then you came back to live in Estill County after you got out of the service?
No, I spent World War II, I spent 3 years and 8 months. And then I was switched in the West Lexington Yards, and I bought a farm in Fayette County, and lived down there a couple of years after I come out of the service in 45. Well, no, by jingo, just stayed there 1 year. And then I quit the railroad and went back in the service for 3 more years. And then in 50, after I'd married, I've been married 5 times. And never was married in Estill County. But I married at Wilmore in 50, and then up in 50 while I was in, of course I got a lot of friends in Lexington, where I lived around there for years, and volunteered. I joined the reserve and volunteered, and they called me within 2 weeks during the Korean conflicts, and I spent 3 years in that.
And then after that, you came back to Estill County?
No, I bricklayed around Lexington, and I retired bricklayer, and I've been back here about 14 years. And when I come back, why, most all of my children was born in Jessamine County. And when they started the school here in Estill County, they'd come in and say, "Daddy, are we kin to so-and-so?" I said, "Kin to everybody in Estill County." So it does. We tie in with the Robinsons, Crows, Harrises, Winkles, Arvins, Peters. And you take the main ingredients of this county, we are related some way or another into it.
Bakers, Rogers.
Well, I can't think of anything else I want to ask y'all.
See, he learned his trade under me. I started him out in the first job we have done. He wanted to leave me, and I kept him on that job, laid brick, and the first building we put up, it was so dirty, I washed it 5 times.
You shouldn't tell that.
I washed that building 5 times and still had to put paraffin oil. Clean it up. Never will forget that.
And now I'm a total disabled veteran. And of course I draw my Social Security too. And a total disabled veteran, draw a veteran pension. And I enjoy fishing and hunting. I went deer hunting this fall. I went out this, I got me in Sunday out from deer hunting. And I kind of like that.
What made you want to move back to Estill County when you retired?
I believe it don't hold true to the elephants going back to the old burial ground. I believe it's human beings. They drift back, and they'll eventually drift back to the burial place. Now we have a cemetery here, or a graveyard. It's just called a graveyard, and it's on the map, Arvin Graveyard.
Where is that?
Barnes Mountain. And I don't know. I guess I'll be buried up there. I've got one kid up there. I've got 10 children living, and I've got one dead. One son, Thomas, was named after my great-grandfather. And he's buried up there, and I guess that's where they'll plant me at when it comes around time.
I'm
going
to go ahead and turn this off. It was conducted by Kate Black, the librarian at the Estill County Public Library.